It's March, and that can mean only one thing. The madness is here. Not in front of a TV on game day? Listen to every round of NCAA March Madness live from Westwood One, free in the Odyssey app. Catch all the biggest moments of the tournament, no matter where you are. From Cinderella's,
a 15 seed will head to the Elite Eight,
to buzzer beaters,
Atkinson scores, 1.4 seconds left,
to champions,
for the fourth time.
Search for NCAA March Madness right here in the Odyssey app to get started.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's start things off with Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Green Bay Packers. He says he will only appreciate the good memories that he and Aaron Rodgers had.
I've got nothing but love and appreciation for what Aaron has done for so many in our organization. Obviously, have experienced a lot of great times together, won a lot of football games together, ultimately did bring home a Super Bowl, which will always be disappointing, but he's done so much for myself, my family, our coaches' families, so many people within the organization, other players. A lot of people have been rewarded, quite frankly, because of his ability to go out there and play at such a high level. So, I'm just going to kind of leave it at that.
We finally have an adult in the room, Hickey. It wasn't Mark Murphy. It wasn't Aaron Rodgers. And it wasn't Brian Gutekunst. That's how you're supposed to handle this thing publicly. Because Matt LaFleur can't be thrilled with Aaron Rodgers. Especially when you go back to my report yesterday, which is 100% factual, that Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers last year would have meetings to give Rodgers more input on the offense, and there would be many times where Rodgers just blow off the meeting and not even have the decency to tell LaFleur, hey, I'm not showing up, and LaFleur would just be sitting there waiting, and eventually realize, okay, Rodgers isn't coming. And that's got to hurt. And there's been times where there's been some awkwardness between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. LaFleur, even though I don't think he's this great football coach, and I want to see how he navigates life without number 12 at Aaron Rodgers, one thing I can say about him, Hickey, is he is a professional. And he has handled this to the best of his ability. And Gutekunst took some shots, wanted to set the record straight the other day. Mark Murphy was talking about Aaron Rodgers in the past tense, and this deal isn't even agreed upon yet. And he's also said some stupid things over the last few years. And then Aaron Rodgers just lies a little bit. Or a lot. Where, they didn't communicate to me. And then when the team is trying to communicate with you, you don't call back. So I give a lot of credit to LaFleur because that's not an easy situation. And he kind of put an end to the questions of it today where it could have gone on and on and on. And from the start, he was just positive, positive, positive. And when you go, I'll leave it at that. That basically implies I'm not fully being honest with you, but I'm not going to go down the road where I give you something that you could all write about and then go talk about and make it look like I'm dissing Aaron Rodgers.
And he is mature enough to realize winning the press conference or, I guess, winning the headline battle doesn't mean anything. Like, Brian Gutekunst saying, basically, oh, we were blown off. We tried to call Aaron Rodgers. He didn't call us back. He's the bad guy. if that's the case or not, you winning that little headline doesn't actually mean anything. Aaron Rodgers claiming that the Packers moved on without his consent and he was lied to, that doesn't mean anything, because the reality is we are where we are. The Packers are moving on. Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets. Matt LaFleur knows he no longer has Aaron Rodgers. So just take the high road and just say, you know what? It's over. And like you said, that answer puts to bed any more questions and stops the controversy, at least on his end.
Matt LaFleur says expectations for Jordan Love shouldn't be sky high.
We're excited about Jordan and how he's been able to progress as a quarterback, how he's matured as a man. And, you know, it's going to be a different role for him, certainly. And I think we all have to kind of temper our expectations, you know, for him. It's different when you're going into a game versus when you're starting a game. And it's going to be a process.
Matt LaFleur also says Jordan Love will not be Aaron Rodgers right away.
I just think it's going to be a progression. I mean, certainly I think we're fooling ourselves if we think he's going to go out there and perform at a level of to the likes of what Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this guy is a once in a lifetime, a generational talent. Like, so, and I don't think it necessarily started that way when he first started, you know, but he progressed into that. So, you know, it's like I said, it's going to be a progression, and hopefully we can surround him with enough people to help him perform at the best of his ability.
Well, they obviously think he's ready. He's ready to start. That has been made abundantly clear. I don't think any expectations have been kind of crazy and wacky for the Packers, but you know it's going to be a big story where it's going to be every week. What did Rodgers do? What did Love do? What did Rodgers do with the Jets? What did Love do with the Packers? And the Jets are in a better situation, and Rodgers has a lot more experience, and right now is the better player, obviously. And I think what's smart here, what LaFleur did, was even though no one's like going crazy and bonkers, it allows him in, let's say, week four, when Jordan Love stinks up the joint, to say, guys, I told you this was going to be a process. We believe in the player, but this is really, even though it's not his rookie year, it's his rookie year starting. And there's going to be some good moments. There's going to be some bad moments. It's going to be a roller coaster. And you just hope as a Packers fan, at the end of the year, when you get to the end of that roller coaster ride, you go, all right, that was a good experience. I want to go back. And at the end of the year, if you feel like you want to go back to Jordan Love being your guy, and you believe in Jordan Love, and you believe in the amusement park, and you believe in the roller coaster ride, and it's going to be fun again, and you get the monkey off the off your back of the first year jitters and all that as a starting quarterback, I do think that's how you evaluate success. Because there's going to be some good moments this year, Hickey, and then there's going to be some bad moments. But at the end of the year, if you leave with the positive note, then I think it's a success for the Green Bay Packers, regardless of the record.
If you see Jordan Love a lot better in Week 18 compared to Week 1, don't care what the record is, that's the win. Progress.
Like, have you ever been on a family vacation that wasn't always perfect?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what this is going to be. We're like, the first 2 days, it may be a disaster because someone's bitching that they didn't get their room, or someone's bitching that they didn't get to go to their restaurant. But then at the end of the trip when you leave, if you're like, all right, I had a good time, that's what it needs to be this year. You need to leave that trip if you're the Packers saying, okay, I had a good time. Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, he says the last few years have been very disappointing.
Well, I was very disappointed the way our season went. And, you know, I had the privilege of being a fan for decades before buying the team. And I think in the end, I'm still a fan. And my objective for our team is that we make the playoffs, because once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. But if you don't, then your season ends in a way that doesn't make me very happy. And I thought last year, you know, we've gone 3 years without it, and I thought we had been in a position to do it. And the season, we finished under 500, which is first time in a long time. And so I thought changes had to be made, and I think we've made some moves and changes that I think give me personally some hope for the upcoming season.
Here's what I'll say. You look at the 3 years post-Brady. Year one, when you're going to Cam and just Cam is kind of shot and Brady left it the way that he did, I can't really kill them for that season. That was a fine season. You know, nothing spectacular. It wasn't as bad as what people made it out to be. They were competitive in some games. They just did not have anything at the quarterback spot. Then, that second year, you make the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. And not that much of a talented roster. That's a successful season. Last year, they took a step back. And I think what rubs Kraft the wrong way on this one, Hickey, is that everyone knew that it was sloppy last year. Everyone knew that it made no sense to have Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinator. And Belichick has brought in Bill O'Brien, so you check one box. But the other box that I've been asking to get checked off here is to get a legitimate number one wide receiver. And yeah, you improve the wide receiving room, bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster. You have Kendrick Bourne, you have Devontae Parker, and maybe Tyquan Thornton develops to be that speedster and that really good player, but they don't have a number one wide receiver yet. And you look around the NFL, Jalen Hurts, he took off. He had A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Tua Tagovailoa, even though he hasn't been able to stay healthy, he has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Josh Allen really did soar when he got Stephon Diggs. I look around. Juju, at best, is a 1.5. He's more like a 2. Kendrick Bourne, solid. Devontae Parker, good. But they don't have a number one wide receiver. And that's why it's still a tough sell for me, Hickey, to really have any positive expectations for this team. And it's weird because I know you said this before, like Bill the GM has to be better, and you're right. He does. He has to be better as a GM. But like last year, that was a really bad roster. And they still at the end of the year, they weren't going to be Buffalo. But if they did beat Buffalo, they would have been in the playoffs. So Bill the coach still has a lot left in the tank. But I think the biggest thing he needs to adjust and change in the realization that you don't have Brady anymore is you could cut corners when you don't have Brady. Now you don't have Brady. So you need to adapt with the rest of the league and we'll get those star wide receivers. Is there more for Robert Kraft? He expects Mac Jones to be very successful in 2023.
I see him as a very hardworking young man. He's in the stadium almost every day now in the offseason. I think bringing in Bill O'Brien, I think will work to his advantage, and yeah, I'm very positive and hopeful about this upcoming year, and I personally am a big fan of Mac.
Do you know what I envision there? I think there's going to be you want to know what the must-see thing of the Patriots is this year? Hickey, what do you think is the must-see thing of the Patriots? What do you think the most exciting thing for the Patriots will be this year?
Maybe the end of the year press conference if they don't make the playoffs.
No. The most exciting thing throughout the season is going to be the emotion between and the fighting between Bill O'Brien and Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is very passionate. Bill O'Brien, that we know they used to call him the teapot in New England. I think those two are going to have some classic battles this year. It'll be a healthy competition. But once again, do I think this roster is all that good? No, I do not. Tom Curran says there's a chance Robert Kraft could fire Bill Belichick if things go south. This is courtesy of the Pat McAfee Show.
It is becoming more and more a conversation of what are we going to do about Bill? You know, yesterday was asked point blank, Robert Kraft was, look, if Bill does not have a good season after you've kind of pushed your chips into the middle of the table, Robert, would you fire him or would you allow him to continue to pursue Don Shula's record?
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of verbiage is tough to listen to after all Bill has accomplished. Robert said, look, I want to see him break Don Shula's record, but we don't have our players chasing personal awards. He also said in different junctures, you know, it's a performance-based business. It's a business, and we need success, and he expects success. So it might not be Bill's decision. Look at what Bill did with Tom Brady. I mean, he didn't give him carte blanche to finish his career. He wanted to go year to year. And Brady finally said, you know what? I'm not doing that. And I think Bill is being, you know, held to a similar standard that he's always held his players to. And yeah, he built up an unbelievable amount of collateral, an unprecedented amount from 2000 to 2018. But he's also spent a lot in the last few years.
I always think it's dangerous when an owner acts like a fan. Like, I do think Jim Irsay, not just take a shot at your team, Hickey acts like a fan a lot. Robert Kraft, though, was a fan. Like, I remember the first time I met him, I said, I remember you telling a story how you used to sneak in with, like, you had four tickets and you get, like, 15 people in. I said, my uncle did the same exact thing, Mr. Kraft. And we were, like, talking about that and just, like, the rise of the franchise and all of that. And there is still part of a fan in Robert Kraft, but it's just dressed up in a very business-like way with all that he's accomplished in this league. But you are now hearing the fan, Hickey, of Robert Kraft where, yeah, I get it. We were down and out. We were a disgrace. And then we won six Super Bowls and been to countless others. But now, 3 years post-Brady, you missed the playoffs twice and you only make it once, so you don't win a playoff game. Robert Kraft, the fan, is basically saying this is a results-based business. This is a what do we do now type of business, not accolades and what you've done in the past. And I respect that out of Robert Kraft.
Same. I hate him, but I love his approach. I think it's 100% right. You stay hungry no matter how many Super Bowls you have. The one you want is the next one. And Robert Kraft is not sitting fat on those laurels, that's for sure.
You hate him. Please. You hate us because you ain't us. All right, let's go to Mike McDaniel. So Mike McDaniel, I guess, is reacting to Josh Harris and Magic Johnson submitting a $6 billion bid for the Commanders. By the way, Josh Harris owns the Sixers. He owns the Devils. And now he's probably going to own the Commanders.
And I think of a part of Crystal Palace, too, in soccer.
Not a bad life.
Not at all.
I've been at those press conferences in Camden for the Sixers. He flies in on the helicopter, lands on the roof, and then once the press conference ends, gets right back on the helicopter, and then goes right back up in the air. Very busy man. Well, let's hear Mike McDaniel, used to work for the Commanders. He's shocked to hear the value of the team.
Wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee?
I know everyone's laughing at this. I just can't take Mike McDaniel seriously. I've said that before. I know a lot of people think he's funny. He's just bizarre to me. And I know his players love him. But I just can't. Like, if I was a player, I don't think I could take him seriously. Hickey?
I mean, I love him. I know you have had it out for him since last year. I think he's very funny. I think that quip is hilarious. He hears the valuation. He's sitting there going, couldn't give me free coffee? I think it's great. I think he brings personality that is severely missing. I love it.
And the guy's a heck of a football coach, what he did this year. And also, you know, really remarkable how you're in that game up against the Bills when you're playing Skylar Thompson. You know, I love the way that he mans the end of that game, but I don't know. I feel like everyone's laughing at the jokes of Mike McDaniel. And I'm at the comedy show, and I'm like, this comedian stinks. That's just the way that I feel about him. Let's get to Ron Rivera on why he believes Sam Howell will succeed as an NFL starter.
The main reason we're going with Sam is because we think Sam's going to be a good football player. We really do. You know, it's one of those things that I've talked to a couple of entities that typically do these write-ups about the draft. And when you go to them and you ask them, hey, can you tell me what did you guys have on Sam if he had come out in 2021? Okay. I had a number of them tell me that they had first-round grades on him. Okay, go back and ask, call them. And it's, the people at Pro Football Focus. I did a thing for them at the Super Bowl while I'm doing the interview. Hey, wait a minute, can you guys tell me what you guys had on sand? And right off the bat, they told me we had first, second-round grade on him. So that's one of the pluses and positives. If the guy had come out, he'd have been a first or second-round pick. We were fortunate he fell to the fifth round because people didn't think it was a strong class. You'll see what we've seen. And I really do believe that. So I don't think this is as much a wild shot as people think it is. And again, part of it is because you watch a young man like Brock Purdy have the season that he had last year, and you would like to think, wow, we have a guy that's got the same type of ability and skill set.
So he's not wrong, because there was a feeling that Sam Howell was going to be a first-round pick, and then he returned to UNC. He loses Javonte Williams. He loses Michael Carter. He loses two wide receivers. And then he falls to the fifth round. Now, here's the problem. And we see Ron Rivera every year, tremendous to us, right? He's best friends with Ack, all that from their days in Chicago. He's a great guy. But the way that he's handled that quarterback situation and the fact that he believed in Carson Wentz, and I know some people are going to say, oh, it was Dan Snyder. He's lost the benefit of the doubt on quarterbacks. And when Lamar Jackson is available, I know maybe the sale of the team complicates it. I'm not hitching my wagon to Sam Howell. I'm doing whatever it takes to go get Lamar Jackson. That's a tough part for me. Ron Rivera on why the Commanders were never interested in trading for Lamar Jackson.
You look at what the impact on your roster building is. What were the assets we'd have to use to get him? What would the financial impact be? I mean, these are things that we have to think about separate of anybody else. This is why we did what we're doing. Okay, we were able to keep the defensive line guys that we have in place. We've got a couple other guys we got to think about on the defensive side. Three guys, actually, that we really feel are part of the core that we're trying to put together. We want to build up the offensive line. We got some dynamic playmakers. So we're in a position now, if you want to do something different, it may impact those dynamic playmakers, that front that you're trying to build. I mean, we are roster building, I think, for the first time. And feel really good about being able to do the things that we're doing right now.
Well, here's why I can't buy that answer. Because a few years ago, you said you were roster building. And then you go get the quarterback. That's what he said. And they made a decision to get Carson Wentz. It was a disaster. They built this roster. This roster's good. They need a quarterback. And if you have to sacrifice someone on defense and someone on offense, fine. But you have to go get a quarterback now. In an NFC that is open outside of Philadelphia and the 49ers. He has lost me on this approach. And maybe it's more than just him. But this approach makes no sense. Finally, Arthur Blank was on Dukes and Bell. Ah, Carl Dukes, put him up! On 92.9 The Game. And here is Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, on why the Falcons are not interested in Lamar Jackson.
We look at our situation, you know, we've come out of an era where, 25% and heading to north of that was going to be tied up with one player. And that, as I said earlier in the broadcast, is that that put us in a position where we couldn't do two things. We couldn't build out and build up our roster across the board, not only in depth for depth, but also for frontline starters. And, it's having a quarterback that can play competitively is critical. But so it is, you have to have a good defense, you have to have a competitive offense, et cetera, be able to move the ball and stop the ball, et cetera. So I think, part of our recognition was that we had a lot of work, to do in that regard. I think probably most importantly for us is that, we drafted this young man, Desmond Ridder, last year in the third round, and I think he's continued to show everything that we expected of him. And maybe beyond that, to the point that Coach Smith and the staff, and including Terry and Rich, and we all feel comfortable that he should be our starter going into this next year.
What about beyond next year? I don't know what Desmond Ridder is going to be. Did a phenomenal job at Cincinnati, but you can't tell me he's a slam dunk as a pro quarterback. And the other thing is, and to be fair to Dukes and Bell, I did not listen to the full interview. This was just sent to us, so I'll take a listen to it later. But I have so much respect for Carl Dukes, good friend, and it's a great afternoon radio show. The question, I'm sure it was asked, because you have to ask it. A year ago, you were willing to do pretty much, from what we could gather, almost whatever it was going to take to go get Deshaun Watson. What's the difference a year later? You would have been committed all that money to Deshaun Watson. Even if it wasn't fully guaranteed, if the Browns offer didn't happen, you're going to be committing a large chunk of change to Deshaun Watson. And a year later, you don't want to do that for Lamar Jackson? And Hickey, that to me doesn't make sense. Why you're willing to do for Deshaun Watson with all he was facing off the field, but Lamar Jackson, no. That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm with him. I think the reasoning is flawed from Ron Rivera and Arthur Blank. All of a sudden now,
Stupid. Team
building is now, first and foremost. Forget a quarterback. We got to make sure the left guard is taken care of. Okay.
It's a pile of you-know-what. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So let's quickly breeze through the top five teams that need to go get Lamar Jackson, give him a contract, and hope that the Ravens don't match it, and you send two first-round picks to Baltimore. I'll start it off. I got a tie for fifth place. I think it's the Vikings and Lions. I look at those teams. I think the Vikings were really good last year in the regular season, but you never got a sense that they were going to win a Super Bowl. I think Kirk has done all he can in Minnesota. I know there's some playoff concerns with Lamar, but he's so much younger in his career, and we've never seen Kirk play at an MVP level. And for the Lions, I know Jared Goff went to a Super Bowl with the Rams and did not play well, and he had a really good year last year, but you have a team that's ready to go win the division, and we just know Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. So I'll put the Vikings and Lions in there at five. Four, I'm going with the Commanders. And the Commanders have a good team outside of the quarterback. I like Terry McLaurin. I like Jahan Dotson. Defensively, we know how they keep paying and they get him that contract done. If Chase Young could stay healthy, we know how good of a player he could be. They have a really good defense. But until you go get a quarterback, I just can't trust that team in a division right now that is better than what it's been. Eagles, Super Bowl contender. Cowboys, playoff team. Giants just made the playoffs, and they won a playoff game against Minnesota. So I look at the Commanders. They got to go get a quarterback. They should go get Lamar Jackson. Three, I do think it's the Patriots. Ever since Brady's left, they really haven't had that much excitement. Really, probably the highlight since Brady leaving was the performance in Buffalo, Mac Jones' rookie year. I know he only threw the ball like twice in the game, but they win, and then it did set a little panic into the heads of Buffalo, where they just look lost after that game and dejected after that game, and then Buffalo ended up beating them in New England and then beating them in the playoffs. So I look at the Pats, even though I think Mac Jones can be a good quarterback, I don't know if he could be a great quarterback. And I know what Lamar Jackson can be in this league. Two, it's Atlanta. It makes, as I said in the last segment, it makes no sense to me why they were all in on Deshaun Watson and now all of a sudden they're talking about how if you go bring in Lamar Jackson, you have to cut other guys off the roster and manage the cap and you drafted Desmond Ridder in the third round. Like, give me a break. That's ridiculous. And then number one, it's Hot Take Hickey's team, the Indianapolis Colts. They haven't had a quarterback since Andrew Luck. And even though Andrew Luck was supposed to be this phenomenal player, and I thought he had a lot of good years in the league, he could not stay healthy. So they have not had a quarterback workout long-term since number 18. You have gone through the gauntlet of trying everything. I know there's injury concerns with Lamar, but you look at that division right now, it's the Jags and everybody else. You go put Lamar with Jonathan Taylor, and that defense is solid, and that offensive line, they could take a bounce back year. They could make the playoffs next year. So I look at the Colts. You need a quarterback. You're sitting at four. I would not draft Richardson at four. I would not draft Will Levis at four. Maybe you wait until after the draft so you go get a player at four, and then you submit the offer, and then the Ravens don't match, and then it's next year's first and the year after that. But I do think the Colts are the number one team that do need Lamar Jackson. So those are my five. Vikings line side for five. For fifth, Commanders at four. Patriots three. Falcons two. Colts one. Hickey, what's your list? Five through one. Go ahead.
Number five, the New England Patriots. Number four, the voice we just heard before, Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons. I have three, the Jets, two, the Dolphins, number one, the Commanders.
The Jets?
Yeah, teams that should pursue Lamar Jackson, absolutely. The Jets are already talking about them not knowing if Aaron Rodgers is going to be back in 2024. Can't just go all in on Aaron Rodgers for potentially 1 year.
But that's already over.
And be back at the drawing board this time next year.
It's already over, though. Like, the Jets, to me...
Well, we're talking about should, right? They should pursue Lamar Jackson. They absolutely should.
Yeah. If you want to make that case, Rodgers, older, Jackson, younger, yeah. Totally in agreement with it. But I just don't think there's a chance that that actually happens. And I also don't think... I think Miami... It's a good one you bring up because they're trying to tell you they still believe in Tua and that Tua's going to stay healthy. It is a little bit bizarre to me how many years, and maybe it was because of Flores, but how many years Miami has flirted with the quarterback even after kind of, well, I guess Watson last year was more so when Flores was there and it was the year before, but how many times have they flirted with another quarterback when Tua was there? Now Lamar is available with the speed that he has, and you have Tyreek Hill, and you have Jaylen Waddle. To put all your eggs in the Tua Tagovailoa basket, like, I'm not surprised they're doing it, but if it was up to me, I do think you are right that I would rather go have Lamar Jackson than Tua.
Both have injury concerns, but at least Lamar's the better player, the more talented player, so the upside is higher.
Yeah.
Compared to Tua, who, again, is right now doing jiu-jitsu to learn how to fall, to prevent concussions. You can't go into a win, you know, Super Bowl or bust year with your quarterback hanging on by a thread.
You think it's Super Bowl or bust for Miami?
Dolphins are all in. I don't think they're going to reach a Super Bowl, but I think to define a successful season, right, like, your window's small right now.
Yeah, it's weird because I look at that team, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I do think you're right, though, in terms of they have done everything to suggest that they're going all in. Like, they just went for Jalen Ramsey. Last year, they went for Tyreek Hill. They made the move to go get, a few years ago, Jaylen Waddle. They have made a lot of moves to suggest that they will do whatever it takes outside of the quarterback to put that team in the best position to succeed. And I do think, with how many times they flirted with other quarterbacks and how they weren't really supporting Tua, at least Flores wasn't, and Chris Greer was a Tua guy, and McDaniel came in, and he was right away, like, he went to the charity event, and I remember Tua was like, oh, I thought that was pretty cool. I think those guys are genuinely invested in Tua Tagovailoa, and they feel like they have to go 100% or 0%, and that, to me, is a slippery slope and one that is not good just because of feelings of the past. Even though you set that tone last year, as you should, it's a great unknown, and probably it's more probable than not that, unfortunately, Tua is going to suffer another concussion. I hate to say it, but I can't sit here and tell you, oh, I think Tua is not going to, you know, is going to get through this entire season without a concussion. And then if he does get a concussion, with all that we've witnessed in the past, I don't think he gets treated like a normal player. I don't think Tua got a concussion on Sunday. He'll be back next Sunday, only miss one game. I think with the heightened awareness around Tua, where they told you it was a back injury, when I don't buy that, then 4 days later gets a concussion, and then later in the season he gets another concussion and doesn't play again. I do believe that if Tua gets a concussion this year, bare minimum multiple games, and that's just to start. It maybe ended up being more than that. I don't think he gets treated from an optic standpoint like every other player just because what we saw play out last year. I don't think that changes over one offseason.
And the three concussions he suffered, he missed more time each one he suffered. If you want to count the Bills one as one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Even though they still say that's a back.
But even from then, the first one, Cincinnati, compared to the second one against the Packers, I mean, he was in the concussion protocol for the Christmas Day one like 2 months after he got the concussion.
Yeah, after the Pro Bowl.
So, yeah. So it's like, you know, the first one he suffered, it was scary. He got carted off.
Played Thursday.
But he was back he missed three games. So he was back sooner than he was after he suffered the one on Christmas Day. So, again, then you would think the next one he suffers, you're going to be out a good amount of time.
Yeah. And that's why with Lamar there, you know what it is? Here's also the other thing. I think Stephen Ross really wanted Brady. And that went away when I guess they realized that they were going to give Brady ownership. They also have to prove it for him to play. And then also the tampering investigation and the punishment too. And then Sean Payton, like that all went out the window. So I think Stephen Ross was heavily invested in Brady. And then it's like Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are heavily invested in Tua Tagovailoa. And since Ross is out on his guy Brady, and Brady's now retired, I think Ross is just going with whatever Greer and McDaniel are saying. They said, if this is the guy that you want to rock and roll with, then we're going to hold you accountable for that. That's kind of the way that I just think Stephen Ross is playing for it, where a few years ago it was totally different. Hey, Tom Brady, come on the yacht. You know Brian Flores, let's go. Let's get this ship moving in the right direction of getting you to Miami. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Closing bell next.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Kevin Durant coming back tomorrow evening. We all remember in warm-ups when he was getting ready to make his home debut for the Suns. He slipped and unfortunately rolled his ankle. Now he'll be coming back tomorrow night. Give KD a stock up. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Bucks center Brooke Lopez? He was defensive stalwart on Monday, recording 14 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal in Milwaukee's 126-117 victory over the Pistons. Lopez is currently the betting favorite to win the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year award. Give Brooke Lopez a stock up. I'm going to double dip on that game. Closer Chris Middleton, 34 points and 8 rebounds. I continue to think he is the most underrated player in the NBA. And if he didn't get hurt last year, I think they're back in the finals and probably win it all. And they're my pick this year to win the championship. So I'm giving a stock up to Closer Chris. All right, we'll keep it moving. How about Hickey's Knicks last night? Go, New York, go, New York, go. I know they're playing the Rockets, only have 18 wins on the season, but the Knicks won a buck 37 to 115. Remember the draft pick of Emmanuel Quickley? IQ, as the kids call him? It was not popular. Well, he had 40 points and 9 assists last night, so give IQ a stock up. The Hall of Fame class got leaked by Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN sources, Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, Becky Hammon, and Pop, Greg Popovich, are among the finalists who've been elected into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2023. The formal announcement will come at the Final Four in Houston this weekend. Big Spurs class right there. So give a stock up to all the Hall of Famers. All right, let's keep it moving. Dan Dockich, he tweeted out today, "My people are telling me that Zach Edey is in the transfer portal. The transfer portal on NIL suck. Well, Zach Edey responds and says, my sources are telling me this is false. Stock down to Dan Dockage. Hickey, Trey Lance. Yikes. Looking like Brock Purdy's going to be the starter. And then Ian Rappaport says that if Brock Purdy's not ready to go, there's a chance it's going to be Sam Darnold. They gave up a king's ransom for Trey Lance. I can't believe. Like, you want to tell me Purdy's going to be starting? That's one thing. But I can't believe that if Purdy is not healthy, that they're going to go to Sam Darnold, whose career highlight was what? Getting mono with the Jets? Or maybe that was a career low light. There's a lot of the seeing ghost things was worse. But geez Louise. Like, that's impossible. That's inconceivable to me that they would go Sam Darnold over Trey Lance. But it's not looking good for Trey Lance. So give him a stock down. I've been a big supporter this year of Jerome Tang, who did a wonderful job at Kansas State. Likeable guy, been an assistant for so long, decade after decade after decade. Was with Scott Drew right when Scott Drew got to Baylor back in the early 2000s, 2003. First year as a head coach in the Big 12. Gets to the Elite Eight. After the game, though, a lot of people said this was classy, and I get it is classy. He goes into the FAU locker room after he lost and congratulates them. But you know what, Hickey? It was just awkward. And I think the FAU players thought it was like awkward, too, because they were kind of laughing when he was talking and then walked out of the locker room. I thought that was pretty bizarre over the weekend. Like, good intentions, but shake hands and then walk off the court, and you don't need to go into the locker room.
You said it. You want to say something? Hey, on the handshake line, great job. Hope you guys win it all, whatever you got to do. You're inspirational, but it's a little weird. Let's say, going to the locker room after the game, like, give them a speech. Yeah, that's weird.
Giving a stock down to Jerome Tang. I think this is going to create some problems in the Gelb household, by the way, which I no longer reside in and haven't resided in there in a long time, but in the Gelb family. Bob Gelb, salesperson at WFAN, on the same floor in the same company as us. One of his accounts, Jersey Mike Subs. Jersey Mike's, they do a great thing. Month of giving culminates tomorrow with the day of giving. So tomorrow's a big charity day. So they bring in sandwiches. They bring in subs to the office. Boomer and Gio, their whole crew gets some. DA, Mraz, the mothership, they all get some Jersey Mike subs. Take care of the morning, guys. What about us here? I needed some dinner tonight, Pops. You get the morning shows, all the sandwiches? Come on. Get some more subs for the evening. You got to take care of morning, middays, afternoon drive, and nights, and heck, even the overnights. It's a bad job by my father. Give Mraz a sub over me. You know what? I'm seeing my grandparents this weekend. It's my grandfather's birthday. I may tell grandma, get the wooden spoon out. Slap little Bobby Gelb around with it. Ridiculous. Stock down to Bob Gelb. It's the end of the show today. Big thanks to Elijah Martin of the FAU basketball team. Keith Ergo, the head coach of Fordham, joining us. All of you were great on the phones, listening, tweeting, at Zach Gelb, Instagram and Twitter. We out. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good job, Hickey, as always. Bye-bye. Peace.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code PODCAST.